boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat. Now if I were Roy Rogers, I'd sure enough be single. I couldn't bring myself to marry an old dame. Would it just be me and Trevor? We'd go riding through them movies, then we'd buy a boat and on the sea we'd sail.
All right, folks, we're back. Awakening Mike Lerzog, your host, coming live from the Valley of the Sun. So, the Russian Federation possesses the largest landmass on Earth. It's almost as big as Canada and the United States combined. And the British have intensely coveted that resource-rich landmass for centuries. And in fact, for as long as they have known how far it stretches from east to west, they have even initiated the Great Game as a means of stealing and or controlling the Russian border areas. The never-ending Great Game's actually an unending war on Russia that the Brits and now the Americans and the Israelis refuse to abandon. And nowadays, both London and Tel Aviv use the U.S. military and or NATO whenever it concerns poking the bear. And because the Third World War, so desired by this real axis of evil, not Iran, North Korea, and Syria, can only be staged with the full participation of Putin's Russia, hence the ZAAA warmongers, do all they can to entice the Kremlin into a manipulated conflict. However, Putin et al. Have already been around this block. Putin's Russia, the perfect foil to the Anglo-American axis and their New World Order. Just Google it, or search engine it. The Kremlin is totally aware, folks, of the enormous conspiratorial plot to stage Armageddon by the neocon Zionist warmongers. And the Russian government knows every crazy lunatic within the Trump administration, both Jewish and Christian Zionists, who subscribe to the whole preposterous yet exceedingly dangerous Armageddon enterprise. And Vladimir Putin, his foreign minister Sergei Lavrov, Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, and every other major player in the Kremlin know just how profoundly misguided and ill-fated such a harebrained scheme truly is. And they are equally determined to avert war by every means possible. Only because the BRICS-aligned nations are populated by leaders who are well aware of this road to Armageddon connivance have the various ZAAA machinations to trigger a Third World War been repeatedly thwarted. Nevertheless, the extraordinary March madness of 2018 indicates that the New World Order cabal will not relent until they fulfill their most apocalyptic and fake prophecy known as the Biblical Armageddon. Was this year's March Madness manufactured to set up April aggression? Well, the powers that be really do prefer to stage some of their most devastating events during the month of April. And in Western astrology, April, and especially Aries, is ruled by Mars, the god of war. And the Illuminati always consult their astrologers before they carry out any major invasion, any violent attack, or any shocking assault. Now, I'll read off to you a little bit of the Illuminati handwork, and it illustrates just how much they really do like April as the month to shock the consciousness of the people. But why else is April the month of so much wanton aggression, so many false flag attacks, and so many profound assaults? Just search engine dark occult season of sacrifice, March 19th through May 1st. April 1st, 1992... These are false flag assassinations, riots, bombings, all in April, folks. April 1st, 1992, the Bosnian War starts. April 3rd, 1988, the first murder by a cult serial killer, Jack the Ripper, 1888. April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated. April 6th, 1830, the Mormon Church is organized. April 8th, 2005, the funeral of Pope John Paul II. April 7th, 1994, Rwandan genocide began. April 1st, 2010, the Polish presidential plane crash. April 12th, 1861, the American Civil War begins. April 12th, 1945, FDR dies in office. April 13th, 1970, Apollo 13 is crippled. April 13th, 1875, Lebanese Civil War starts. April 15th, 2013, Boston Marathon bombings. April 15th, 1912, the RMS Titanic sinks. April 16th, 2007, Virginia Tech Massacre. April 18th, 1863, the Beirut barracks bombings. April 19th, 1993, Waco siege ends in flames. April 19th, 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing. April 20th, 2010, Deepwater Horizon oil spill begins in the, the Gulf of Mexico. These events on April 20th, 1999, Columbine School Massacre. 1961, April 20th, the Bay of Pigs. 1889, Adolf Hitler born. April 21st, 1989, Tiananmen Square protests. April 25th, 1898, the Spanish-American War is declared. April 27th, 2014, canonization of Pope John XXIII and Pope John Paul II. April 29th, 1992, LA riots begin. April 30th, 2009, Queen Beatrix assassination attempt. April 30th, 1966, the Church of Satan is founded. And April 30th, 1975, the Vietnam War ended. Now, given the spate of obvious provocations being staged by the Zio-Anglo-American axis against both Russia and China, it appears that the Western powers are getting ready to rumble. I hope this is wrong. I hope Trump steps up to the plate like Smedley Butler and at the last second pulls the trigger and arrests these people. But the fact is, there's been much of a steady stream of patently false allegations leveled at Russia that the only purpose must be to soften up the mainstream media audience for naked war propaganda. Waging war by deception is always preceded by a blatant campaign of disinformation, particularly when the UK, US, and Israel are behind it. For these and other reasons, April is likely to see a dramatic uptick in all forms of outright propaganda. There are now clandestine plans afoot to start wars and conflicts on various fronts. For instance, while Trump says he will withdraw the remaining 2,000-plus US troops from Syria, which would have been an excellent move, he gave his tacit approval for another NATO military power, France, to take over, which is a terrible move. So, should hostilities in Syria heighten after an invasion by France? The many war hawks throughout the Trump administration will certainly scream for NATO intervention. And that means the official commitment of the U.S. Armed Forces. This is how they will attempt to confer a new veneer of legitimacy on any U.S.-NATO aggression. Up until now, the American military presence in Syria is well known to be a flagrant violation of international law. Now, the Trump administration has been caught in a series of flip-flops regarding U.S. military presence in Syria. There's three recent news reports that have contradicted Trump's plan to remove the American troops, and there can only be one explanation for these inciting and misguided decisions. And guess what that is, folks? Israel. Like I said, I'm relatively certain that once Trump announced that he was going to pull out, he got a telephone call in the middle of the night by Benjamin Netanyahu and Biedelboken, okay, and he flip-flopped. In point of fact, every U.S. military incursion into Syria is technically an act of war. And then there are numerous war crimes committed against the indigenous peoples of northern Levant by U.S. special forces during the execution of their unceasing black ops, and most of the hostilities throughout Syria are carried out by the Pentagon-led rebel armies, the CIA-directed terrorist groups, and the State Department-supported opposition fighters. And as a matter of historical fact, no president has ever declared war on Syria. So the current U.S. military occupation, as we all know, is unlawful. And since Congress has yet to approve any military intervention in Syria, it would be unconstitutional anyway, but they don't care about that. Trump's troops are stationed there illegally. And curiously, the UN has refrained from addressing the legitimacy of the Syrian war. The entire General Assembly knows it was started by the Obama administration after being provoked by Hillary Clinton's State Department The CIA and U.S. military have materially supported every phase of the warfare at the instigation of neocon hawks like John McCain, Lindsey Graham. And the U.N. Security Council is well aware that it was foreign aggression that triggered and has sustained the Syrian conflict, and that it was never a civil war. And every country involved is cognizant of the stark reality that it was NATO's Operation Gladio B, which was used to carry out the Arab Spring. So the only logical conclusion is that the U.S.-led NATO, with the U.K. leading from behind while Israel manipulates the major NATO military members, are the true warmongers. And hence, NATO is now well known as the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization throughout European military leadership and intelligence circles. The neocon warmongers know that the more countries they can incite to war, the greater the chance of regional conflagration will ensue. What they really need, however, is substantial involvement from both sides of the clash. And because of these and many other serious developments, April is a pivotal month for the warmakers. They know there are unique windows of opportunity for combat that, once closed, will be gone for good. Therefore, Trump's best response, if he intends to do this, is to do everything in his power to slow them down. "We're coming out of Syria very soon. Let others take care of it," a quote from Donald Trump. Why Armageddon? Because the power elite are going down. This is the only thing that can save them, folks, is a war. The critical point here is that the power elite know that they are going down, and sooner than later. And they know that they have only a couple of ways out of their preordained and impossible predicament. And one of those ways is to start a world war that sufficiently terrorizes the participants as it traumatizes the spectators. The stratagem has been used from time immemorial by governments the world over to distract its populace from widespread governmental criminality, particularly political malfeasance and official wrongdoing. And in fact, there is no more effective way of diverting the attention of the citizenry than to wage war on a fictitious enemy. Now, their second option is to execute a controlled demolition of the global economic and financial system. While this alternative will make many folks quickly forget the ongoing globalist crime wave, it may also backfire, because the internet has made available so much truth about the controlling crime families, as well as the actual history of the major wars over the past two centuries. Who doesn't know the perps by name and face now? Were the powers that be to crash the markets, particularly the stock and or bond markets, their own corporate empires could also collapse in a day, a night, from the inevitable domino effect. And not only that, the jobless masses just might pick up their torches and pitchforks and make short work of you-know-who. There's nothing else that scares the power elite like people power. They know that mob mentality can degenerate very rapidly into a French Revolution scenario, and given the amount of extreme rage being expressed across the World Wide Web today, the victimized around the globe won't even take the time to set up guillotines or erect gallows. And consequently, the warlords and banksters who lead this international crime syndicate have no choice but to evacuate the premises. Unless, of course, they start World War III or crash the markets first. So, let's see. The following headlines represent only a small number of major events that depict March Madness. Well, the Austin bombings. Will Governor Jerry Brown be arrested, prosecuted, and imprisoned? Orange County Sheriff defies California sanctuary law. Women's March of LA Degeneratives. Why is Trump making other misguided quotes to move against Russia? And John's bomber Rand Bolton, new warmonger in the White House. We're one to review all the wild and wacky things that took place from March 1st through March 31st. It's clear that the mainstream media has been completely taken over by Operation Mockingbird. And in other words, nothing is released by these mainstream media organs of propaganda unless explicitly approved by the CIA. Now, the crucial matter here is that there's always a series of destabilizing events staged just prior to any major black operation of global import. And this tactic knocks everyone off balance so that the perps can control the crime scene and the narrative. The pervasive chaos and palpable anxiety create an atmosphere of unpredictability and trepidation. And this is just what the powers that be thrive on before they work their black magic. Now, the key points here. It's quite ironic that while globalists like George Soros work overtime to strip Americans of their firearms, they conduct nonstop and massive arms trafficking operations throughout the Mideast and other hotspots. And the Parkland false flag shooting was specifically carried out for this very reason, to outlaw the right to bear arms. The CIA creations of David Hogg and Emma Gonzalez are proof positive of March Madness on steroids. And these two exposed agents of the deep state are still going strong in April. Their chutzpah and hubris only intensifies by the day, which points to something very big in the offing. That means that there is another Operation Gladio C, a false flag in the works, a mammoth psyop that will take their national gun grab to the next level. And the real question is, folks, is whether Trump will allow himself to be used to practically void the Second Amendment. So make no mistake about it, the neocons are determined to carry out regime change, both in Syria and Iran. And every move the Zionists make in the Middle East is designed to remove the present government in Tehran. And Israel's stated prefix for its sporadic attacks on Syria is to limit the influence of Iran near the Golan Heights. And Tel Aviv is particularly wary of the buildup of Hezbollah fighters and armaments in the same area, and the Israelis will commit any war crime necessary, as we've all seen right blatant in our face, any war crime necessary to disrupt the Hezbollah weapon distribution network so close to their border. And this surreptitious plan to overthrow the Ayatollah and current administration has been on the drawing boards for many years. Iran is the last of several countries that the neocon Zionists vowed to conquer in their quest to establish a greater Israel. Remember Wesley Clark, 7 countries in 5 years. And the only way to properly understand the incessant cauldronizing of the Middle East is to comprehend the true depth and breadth of the greater Israel project. It was Putin's Russia that exposed and impeded this maniacal scheme with devastating air force attacks in 2015. Putin went ballistic on Syria and obliterated the USA's secret military or Mideast strategy. And while Iran poses the biggest threat regionally to the greater Israel project, Russia provides military muscle to torpedo any attempts by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Biedelbogen to expand into sovereign territory such as Syria. Israel has repeatedly demonstrated that it will steal land and water bodies whenever they can get away with it. Because Russia and Iran are now joined at the hip, the Western warmongers face a formidable foe. And when China is added to this mutual defense alliance, it's clear they cannot be defeated individually or collectively. Nonetheless, it is Iran that remains in their sights. So what's the conclusion to this? The world has become a very complicated and dangerous place. Now that the global village has been made very small and everything is interconnected, there's really no way to covertly pull off a 2018 Armageddon scenario. And with the internet running at full tilt, the globalists planned for the world war are being thwarted at every turn, implementing their false flag attacks and subsequent psyops just to get harder by the day. But that's not going to stop the powers that be from trying this April. That's not to say that psychos in charge won't try to blow up the Middle East. They've already shown themselves willing to destroy anything, anywhere, and any time in the interest of achieving their New World Order objective of a one-world government. That totalitarian superstate is about enslaving all of us, all of humanity, under the rubric of one currency, one religion, and one legal system administered by communist governments and fascist dictatorship. However, the globalists know that they must first disarm the American people. They know that there will be a patriot hiding behind every blade of grass, folks, should the foreign power or UN troops ever encroach on U.S. sovereignty. Therefore, the ongoing gun grab will only intensify until something gives. After all, the Purple Revolution can only begin in earnest when the right is defenseless. So what do you think, folks? Do you think they're going to actually get our guns? How many guns are there in this country? Well, I've heard as many as 300 million. I don't know. But I think there's at least 100 million of us that are armed. Going to go to a break. Be right back. Shift gears. Phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. See you in three. Be right back.
the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Pinsock, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Is it just me? Isn't it a coincidence that every time the United States threatens to pull out of Syria, Assad uses chemical weapons? You know, Doug Owen, a friend of mine, runs Blacklisted News, right? He's got an article up here. It says, last Saturday night, the mainstream media began spreading the news of an alleged chemical weapons attack in Duma, Syria. It was reported that the tragic attack has claimed the lives of 70 innocent civilians. And immediately after the unconfirmed reports, Trump began threatening Russia, Iran, and Animal Assad and blamed them for the attack. The report of the alleged attack is unconfirmed and reported only by the known ISIS sympathizers, the White Helmets. Now, again, I want to be clear here. There has been no independent verification of a chemical attack, and it is the only thing reported by a group who was caught multiple times staging fake attacks. So, supposedly, 70 people suffocated to death, and hundreds are still suffocating. Now, this is said Raed al-Sahe, head of the White Helmets. And this was their second tweet, as the first one, now deleted, which claimed 150 people were killed, was apparently too big of an exaggeration to be believable. So, indeed, less than a month ago, the Russian military predicted this exact scenario. As CNBC reported last month, the threat by Chief of Russia's General Staff Valery Gerasimov was widely reported by Russian media sites such as state news agency RIA and TASS. It said Gerasimov said Russia had reliable information about militants preparing to falsify a government chemical attack against civilians. I see. And in spite of the fact that Syria and Russia are decrying the allegations as false, referring to them as a fabrication, the U.S. has begun the pretext to provoking more war in Syria and potentially Russia and Iran. Now, the U.S. State Department said that Russia, with its unwavering support for Syria's government, ultimately bears responsibility for the alleged attacks. What? It's just, I don't know, folks, is it just me? I mean, how is it? As again, what it said is that, you know, every time we get ready to, we're starting to pull out, boom, all of a sudden he gasses his own people again. Now, how can the American people not catch on to this? There has been no investigation, and the United States government is already pointing fingers and implicating a world power in a massive war crime, which is totally irresponsible, and, you know, taking the focus away from their own war crimes. However, it was entirely predictable, as these alleged gas attacks all follow a similar scheme. For those who don't remember, there's a timeline showing how conveniently timed these gas attacks are for the military-industrial complex, because on March 30th of 2017, this is just over a year ago, Reuters reported that Syria was no longer a U.S. priority and that the government is no longer focused on getting Assad out. Now, conveniently, only 5 days after trying to de-escalate the situation, an alleged gas attack takes place, to which Trump responds with these 59 Tomahawk missiles that hit that base over there that didn't do a heck of a lot of damage because they were in business again the next day. But 3 days after the missile attack, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, issued a statement that regime change in Syria is inevitable. So, being reported at the time, a leading weapons academic and one of the foremost experts in the field came forward in a series of reports noting his opposition to the official story in regards to the Khan Shukun nerve agent attack in Syria. And according to the expert, that Syrian gas was staged. So let's fast forward to just the other day, March 29th, 2018. And Trump put many people to ease when he said that the U.S. would be coming out of Syria, like, very soon. And just hours after the Pentagon highlighted the need for U.S. troops to remain in the country for the immediate future, he says, we're knocking the heck out of ISIS. We'll be coming out of Syria, like, very soon. Let the other people take care of it now. Trump told his supporters at an Ohio event just, what is it, not less than 2 weeks ago, okay? Now, just days later, coincidentally, just days on April 7th, about a week later, a little over a week, the White Helmets report that Assad gassed his own people again, and no one other than the people known for staging events, or in staging these videos, is the source. So, on April 8th, Trump then blames Russia, Iran, and Syria, and issues a big price to pay threats to all of them. Many dead, including women and children, in mindless chemical attacks in Syria. Area of atrocity and is in lockdown and encircled by a Syrian army, making it completely inaccessible to the outside world. President Putin, Russia, and Iran are responsible for backing Animal Assad. Big price to pay. Open area immediately for medical help and verification. Another humanitarian disaster for no reason whatsoever. That's sick, wrote Trump. No one here is claiming that Assad is some hero. But let's face it, folks, for him to make this move, knowing the end result, is entirely preposterous. And it just would never happen. So the alleged chemical attack is, in spite of the Syrian regime change, successfully defeating ISIS in over 90% of the country, just as Assad hears that Trump is considering pulling out of the country, which would have been a massive win for the Syrian regime, supposedly he gasses his own people, ensuring the exact opposite of this would happen. Oh, yeah, sure thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're supposed to believe this. Now, According to the official narrative, every time Syria is on the verge of a military victory in their own country, Assad then randomly gasses his own people to thwart this victory and gives the U.S. a reason to invade and turn what's left of Syrian infrastructure into rubble. Oh, you bet. And the American mainstream is eating it up and ramming it down the throats of dumbed-down Americans who couldn't point to Syria on a map. Who was it? Gary Johnson.
What is Aleppo?
Remember back during the campaign? And yet, they demand that we spend billions of dollars, you know, bombing brown people in a country that has never done a single thing to them. Now, as Finian Cunningham notes, this weekend's alleged chemical weapon attack on civilians in Syria has all the hallmarks of a false flag propaganda stunt. Only people who have had their critical senses numbed by saturated Western media distortion could possibly believe. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe down the lane.
Yeah, folks, you can sit down and wait for the phone to ring. Why is it that all these people believe this? Why is it the vast majority of mind-numb, dumbed-down Americans believe this Kool-Aid that is constantly being dished out to them on mainstream media? Could it be the Dunning-Kruger effect? You ever heard of that, folks? The Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias in which individuals who are unskilled at a particular task believe themselves to possess above-average ability in performing the task. On the other hand, as individuals become more skilled in a particular task, they mistakenly believe that they possess below-average ability in performing those tasks because they assume that all others possess equal or greater ability. In other words, the miscalibration of the competent or the incompetent stems from an error about the self, whereas the miscalculation of the highly competent stems from an error about others. Think about that. And haven't we all seen that lately? Now, let's just look at a recent example, right here in the good old USA. Now, those who haven't lived like the rest of us are the ones that are shouting the loudest. Now, I'm going to cite the example of the current gun control debate. We've got high school kids who think they are experts on policy and on firearms and the Constitution, right? And they are smugly telling us how clueless they believe that we are. We have movie stars, celebrities, who make millions of dollars from movies where they shoot people and who are protected by armed security guards, telling us that we, law-abiding citizens who have guns, are vicariously responsible for every school shooting that has ever happened. We have wealthy city dwellers who live in buildings with doormen telling the rest of us that we're nuts for wanting to protect ourselves. And all of these people who want to loudly tell the rest of us how to live our lives, they all have one thing in common, folks. They are completely out of touch with the real world. When you live in guarded castles, you don't have to worry about defending yourself from a rapist who might break in through your bedroom window. And when you're a kid, you can't fathom the vast responsibility one feels as a parent to protect one's children from home invaders or kidnappers. And when you haven't yet gone out there and lived your life with jobs and crime and financial instability, you have no idea what it's really like for the average American. And yet, these out-of-touch people are the ones screaming the loudest that only they know what is right for America. And that, folks, is where the Dunning-Kruger effect comes into play. You see, back in 1999, social psychologists David Dunning and Justin Kruger of Cornell University performed tests on some subjects and discovered that in many cases, the lower the performance of a subject, the higher their confidence was that they had done well. Now, they published their findings in a paper entitled, and I quote, "Unskilled and Unaware of It: How Difficulties in Recognizing One's Own Incompetence Lead to Inflated Self-Assessments," unquote. And in an article by David Dunning called, and I quote, "We Are All Confident Idiots," unquote, he wrote of his studies. And in 1999, in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, my then graduate student Justin Kruger and I published a paper, he says, that documented how, in many areas of life, incompetent people do not recognize or scratch that they cannot recognize just how competent they are, a phenomenon that has come to be known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. Logic itself almost demands this lack of self-insight. For poor performers to recognize their ineptitude would require them to possess the very expertise that they lack. To know how skilled or unskilled you are at using the rules of grammar, for instance, you must have a good working knowledge of those rules. An impossibility among the incompetent poor performers, and we are all poor performers at some things, and fail to see the flaws in their thinking or the answers that they lack. And what's curious is that in many cases, incompetence does not leave people disoriented, perplexed, or cautious. Instead, the incompetent are often blessed with an inappropriate confidence, buoyed by something that feels to them like knowledge. And this isn't just an armchair theory. The whole battery of studies conducted by these and others have confirmed that people who don't know much about a given set of cognitive, technical, or social skills tend to grossly overestimate their prowess and their performance, whether it's grammar, emotional intelligence, logical reasoning, firearm care and safety, debating, or financial knowledge. College students who hand in exams that will earn them D's and F's tend to think their efforts will be worthy of a far higher grade. Low-performing chess players, bridge players and medical students, and elderly people applying for a renewed driver's license similarly overestimate their competence by a long shot. Sounds familiar. And by the way, Dunning applies this to politics, and it vividly demonstrates why we have the polarization we currently experience in the United States. Some of our most stubborn misbeliefs arise not from primitive childlike institutions or careless category errors, but from the very values and philosophies that define who we are as individuals. And each of us possess certain foundational belief narratives about the self, ideas about the social order that essentially cannot be violated. To contradict them would call into question our very self-worth. And as such, these views demand fealty from other opinions. And any information that we glean from the world is amended, it's distorted, it's diminished, or forgotten, in order to make sure that these sacrosanct beliefs remain whole and unharmed. Political and ideological beliefs, too, often cross over into the realm of the sacrosanct. The anthropological theory of cultural cognition suggests that people everywhere tend to sort ideologically into cultural worldviews diverging along a couple of axes. They are either individualists, bearing autonomy, freedom, and self-reliance, or they are communitarian, giving more weight to benefits and costs borne by the entire community. And they are either hierarchist, favoring the distribution of social duties and resources along a fixed ranking of status, or they are egalitarian, dismissing the very idea of ranking people according to status. And according to the theory of cultural cognition, humans possess information in a way that not only reflects these organizational principles, but also reinforces them. These ideological anchor points can have a profound and wide-ranging impact on what people believe, and even on what they know to be true. And it is perhaps not so surprising to hear that facts, logic, and knowledge can be bent to accord with a person's subjective worldview. And after all, we accuse our political opponents of this kind of motivated reasoning all the time. But the extent of this bending can be remarkable. In ongoing work with the political scientist Peter Enns, the lab has found that a person's politics can warp other sets of logical and factual beliefs so much that they come into direct contradiction with one another. And most importantly, sacrosanct ideological commitments can also drive us to develop quick, intense opinions on topics we know virtually nothing about. So this isn't just about gun control, though. It isn't just about the hot-button topic of gun control. It's about how we're living our everyday lives. An example. People either love President Trump so much that they are willing to see any wrongdoing. You know any of those people, folks? Or they despise him to the point that they are unwilling to recognize any right-doing. And most people's analysis of the actions of the president are completely warped by their sacrosanct ideologies of whether he is good or bad. They don't weigh the merits of the actions. Instead, they judge them from a place of deeply committed cognitive bias. And the same thing is true for many topics. We've never seen such a wide divide in this country among these people over this political situation. But the same is true for many topics like illegal immigration, freedom of speech, like political ideologies, like economic theories, or gay rights, or abortion, or the right to bear arms, or taxes, or even, you know, like the bathroom drama at Target, for crying out loud. And all of us can look at that list and immediately say whether we are for or against these things and what our specific belief is. But ask yourself, do we honestly know all the details of these topics in depth, folks? Are our opinions sourced from cognitive bias or fact. Now, I have biases. You have biases. We all have biases. However, the ability to recognize your own cognitive bias and not use it as evidence in a debate is the gold standard of intelligence. And this isn't something that is going to change. It's completely normal for us to base our opinions on our own moral beliefs. And as Dunning wrote, we are at heart either individualist or communitarian, hierarchist or egalitarian. These are core attributes that would be difficult and not impossible to change. But what can we do to make a conscious effort to catch ourselves when we make a rapid judgment call without the facts? We can educate ourselves on both sides of the issue and make an effort to use facts instead of feelings in our arguments. What we cannot do is expect everyone to play by these rules. But that's okay, because by understanding how an opposing view is developed, we can use that to fuel our own argument. We can call out the cognitive biases. What we can't expect is for facts to change their deeply held beliefs, no matter how ignorant those beliefs might be. We can correct the lack of information, but we can't really expect someone with a confident, sacrosanct opinion to change their minds. They'll hold on to a belief even after it is proven factually incorrect, because as Dunning said, we are all confident idiots. Remember, facts have nothing to do with why they have their points of view. One outstanding example is 9/11. For how long, folks? How many years after 9/11 was it was a taboo subject? Because if you brought that up, it totally, you know, for anybody to listen to you for any length of time would be to shatter their paradigm. And they couldn't have that, so they would call you a conspiracy theorist. However, 17 years later, now, it's a no-brainer. I rarely talk to anybody. Matter of fact, they bring it up to me when I'm in an Uber, okay? I rarely talk to anybody that doesn't believe 9/11 was an inside job. That's how the consciousness shift has gone over the years. Now, the good news is there are folks in the middle who may not have a deeply held opinion on hot-button topics, and these are the folks who can be reached by logic and facts. It's nearly impossible to battle confident ignorance, but with facts, you can influence people who are undecided. Now, if you ask what is going to be the end of our civilization, the rampant epidemic of Dunning-Kruger seems to be the most likely cause. Let's not be guilty of this confident ignorance ourselves, folks. Let's vow to inoculate ourselves with facts instead of enabling ourselves with emotional biases. It's a very well-written article, and I gave a lot of thought to that before I aired it today. And yes, we see this abundance throughout the United States. If you interact at all with people, and I do, then my small interaction with people literally is just, you know, umpiring a baseball game, which I don't talk a lot, besides say ball one, strike two. But in the Uber, I have the privilege, I guess, of taking these people from point A to point B, and many times getting inside their head to find out what's going on in their world, because there's not, you know, 7-8 billion people in the world. There's 7 or 8 billion worlds, because every person lives in their own world. Now, I don't mean to get, you know, profound or esoteric here, but it's true. You know, and not everybody agrees on everything, as we all know. Some of the callers that call into my show, they don't agree with me on certain issues. That's okay. Okay? Because remember, what I'm giving you, what I'm putting forward here on this network, folks, is my world, my analysis. And I'm not right 100% of the time. But some of the things, like what I reported yesterday, based upon deep research into the topic, it's my opinion that the consensus or the research that I've done, there's a lot more evidence, the preponderance of the evidence leans towards not ever being able to get through those Van Allen radiation belts than the other side, which is, yeah, we went through it, we weren't harmed at all. Okay, it's just logic, it's just rationale. And yeah, show me something to the contrary, and I'll take a look at it. But I haven't found anything that makes any rational sense, if that makes any sense. So with that, let's see, getting back to this here. I had put a couple other things in here. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to it today. We've got a break coming up here in a minute. So then we've got a short segment left. So let me just take a look here and see if I've got anything pertinent in my emails. I'm looking at G. Edward Griffin's need to know news here. Astonishing California bill proposes to shut down free speech. Yeah, it's a sanctuary state over there. Okay, so I guess they enjoy the communitarian, the communist, the left wing. You know, California. They're going to shut down free speech. It says, "Oh, I hear the music. We'll be back. I'll share this with you when we get back." Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. A few more minutes to come. Be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, do the bumps of time in your prime.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Well, I either bored everybody and put them to sleep, or they're so intense on listening they didn't have time to call me. Either way, let me share this with you on the way out. Out of G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, this will show you how far left California has sunk. There's an astonishing California bill. It proposes to shut down free speech. This was written by John Rappaport just yesterday. California bill SB 1424 requires all social media and internet websites that have physical presence in the state to verify news stories that are shared on their websites using fact checkers. I wonder what fact checkers are talking about. Snopes.com, the fat lady with her cat sitting on the couch eating bonbons. So the goal of the bill is to silence critics of official narratives using so-called fact checkers who would come from government-supported groups who agree with the official positions. Now, California Senator Richard Pan, who was behind the infamous mandatory vaccine bill of 2015, is introducing this legislation. It still is, except the culture is now all about censoring free speech. Let's see. This guy has stepped up to the plate. This Richard Pan has stepped up to the plate and introduced another bill behind the bill, the law mandating vaccinations for school children. Okay, so he's proposing the bill that would clamp down on criticism of any, quote, official story. In other words, whatever propaganda the mainstream media puts out, okay, and you want to be critical of it, they got a bill to fact-check your criticism of it and throw it out before it ever gets in there. It would require any person who operates a social media as defined internet website with a physical presence in California to develop a strategic plan to verify news stories shared on its website. The bill would require the plan to include, among other things, a plan to mitigate the spread of false information through news stories, the utilization of fact checkers to verify news stories, providing outreach to social media users, and placing a warning on a news story containing false information. Any person who operates a social media internet website with physical presence in California shall develop a strategic plan to verify the news story. The strategic plan shall include, but is not limited to, all of the following: a plan to mitigate the spread of false information through news stories, the utilization of fact checkers to verify the news stories, and providing outreach to social media users regarding news stories containing false information. Placing a warning on a news story containing false information. As used in this section, social media means an electronic service or account. Are you getting the picture, folks? It's a free speech killer. If it passes, agencies of the California government will develop numerous regulations for the enforcement, including penalties for speech criminals. You know, like they're doing with the climate change, you know, the enforcement police, if you use a little bit more than your carbon footprint. Saying this bill violates the First Amendment of the Constitution is a vast understatement. The last time I looked, the founders mentioned nothing about fact checkers or warnings attached to speech. Open borders and a flood of immigration into California are destructive, too. Oh, wait. My statement has been precluded by warnings and fact-checkers' overrides. We're out of time. Thanks to those who didn't call in, because nobody called in. So, that being said, I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow. Stay out of trouble, and bye for now.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.